Well, good morning, everybody. I got a few quips I'm going to start you off with. Anybody ever heard of Larry the Cable Guy? Yeah, a few, maybe. He's a comedian, but he's an awesome comedian. You know, so he has a couple little pieces of wisdom. You have to be real smart to think about what I'm going to tell you now. These little quips of Larry the Cable Guy. He says, "A day without sunshine is like night." You get it? Okay. On the other hand, you have different fingers. 42.7% of all statistics are made up on the spot, like that one. 99% of all lawyers give the rest of the people bad names. The rest of the lawyers bad names. Remember, half the people you know are below average. He who laughs last thinks slowest. Depression is merely anger without enthusiasm. Oh, man. The early bird may get the worm, but the second mouse gets the cheese in the trap. Support bacteria. They're the only culture that some people have. A clear conscience is usually a sign of a bad memory. Oh, change is inevitable, except from vending machines. And if you think nobody cares, try missing a couple of payments. Then you'll find people care. How many of you believe in psychosynosis? He says, raise a hand. So, wow, that's a silly one. Okay, what's the speed of dark? Nobody knows. There is no speed of dark. Is when everything is coming your way, you're in the wrong lane, probably. Hard work pays off in the future. Laziness pays off now. How much deeper would an ocean be without sponges? Oh, man, this is tough. Eagles may soar, but weasels don't get sucked into jet engines. Oh, goodness. What happens if you get scared half to death twice? Well, not a good situation. Why do psychics have to ask your name? Inside every older person is a younger person wondering, what the heck just happened? Is that true, Roger? I don't know. I just remember, if the world didn't suck, we would all fall off. You know, gravity keeps you down. It says, light travels faster than sound. That's why some people appear bright until you hear them speak. Oh, goodness gracious. And the last one. Life isn't like a box of chocolates. It's more like a jar of jalapenos. What you do today might burn your butt tomorrow. Oh, bad, bad. Well, that's Larry the Cable Guy. I don't know if anybody see him on before in the comedies. Oh, he's so funny. So funny. Well, today I'm going to give you, these are yarns, and most of them are, you know, harmless for the most part, but some of them rub you a little bit. And I think that's the key to a good comedian, is knowing how much to rub and how much not to rub. Well, today we're going to talk about that dynamic a little bit, but in this case it's called slander. Slander. I'm pleased to present you to a message today based upon the life and times of the Apostle Paul, our brother. It's listed in the New Testament. Paul is risking his life almost on a daily basis in order to share the gospel of Jesus Christ to the known world. He is following Jesus' great commission command to tell the people that they can be saved. Many times people ask me, though, why didn't God just save everybody at once? Anybody ever get that question before? Why didn't God just save everybody all at one time? Well, I've heard great explanation the other day, and I want to share it to you. It's because God has always treated us special in that He gives each of us the blessing of choice. Choice. Think of it like this. If you went on a date, well, not you, Quentin. No. If you went on a date, Quentin, and the other person said, "You must love me. You must love me." Well, how likely is it that you're going to comply? Probably not so much. You can't force love. God wants people to want to have fellowship with Him. He wants you to want to choose to love Him. And in that regard, God sent His one and only Son, Jesus, so that we might know Him in person and know His love personally. Then God chooses to employ us to tell the people of the world about God's amazing love so that they can choose for themselves to follow Him. And love Him, choose to love Him. And that's what Paul is doing in our message here today. And that's what God wants us to be doing as well. Amen? So let's choose to love Him as we dig a little bit in His Word. So page 986 in the Pew Bible, it's Acts 19, verse 8. Acts 19, starting at verse 8, which is the inspired and the infallible living Word of God. Let's go to Lord in prayer. Father God, thank You, Lord, for the funny quips from Larry the Cable Guy. Thank You, Lord, for the understanding that it's all about love, that You chose us, Lord, and it's all about love, Lord, that You want us to give back, to reflect who You are and what You did for us on the cross. Lord, I ask Your blessings to be upon us and the reading of Your Word. Lord, open our eyes and our hearts so that we might receive it. Lord, we love You. It's in Your precious name we pray. Amen. So, Paul had been traveling now through the interior regions of what we now know as what we call as Asia Minor. And he's in now Ephesus, all of which today is what's called modern Turkey. I've never been to Turkey, and maybe I'll go one day, but for the most part, it's a Muslim country. Last week, we saw how he, along with Priscilla and Aquila, were teaching and correcting the Christians regarding their understanding of Jesus and the Holy Spirit. This is also important for us to continue, though, to strive to teach and clarify God's will and Scripture as it presents itself to people and people get put in our path. We are never done as Christians. As long as God has us here, He wants us to be instruments for His work. We are always learning, and we need to continually sharpen our swords like our iron sharpens iron, we talked about earlier. Iron sharpens iron, but the Bible talks about, for the benefit and the glory of His purpose and His will. In these next verses, we're going to see Paul is continuing in this manner. As long as he lives, he's going to continue in this manner. Verse 8 now is where we're going to start today. He says, Paul entered the synagogue and spoke boldly over a period of 3 months, arguing and persuading them about the kingdom of God. 3 months, my goodness. Paul, as you might know, is a Roman citizen, but a Jew at the same time that was converted to Christianity. Jewish culture embraces this thing called debate, arguing, and persuasion. It is almost like a sport to them. In the short time that I was in Israel later this month, I had the privilege of debating, arguing with, in a healthy way, almost every day with the Jewish folks that God put in my path. And I could tell that they were thoroughly enjoying it as much as myself in that capacity. And I know that it was making a dent, a little piece in their armor. Again, in general, it's just part of their nature, the Jewish people. Paul was there for 3 months now in the synagogue here, trying to persuade them that what was written by the prophets about the coming Messiah in the Old Testament Torah that they studied all the time has been satisfied in the person and life of Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, I am the door, and anyone who enters through me, he will be saved. He also said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one, everybody say no one. No one comes to the Father except through me. Well, that's contrary to a whole lot of other preaching these days. People think there's many ways to God. No, Jesus said that himself. No one comes to the Father except through me. That is probably what some of Paul's arguments were about here. But they didn't want to, though, believe. Instead, isn't it frustrating when you kind of pour your life and your conversations into someone so that they might consider, and yet they still, after all your arguing and discussion and love, they still choose not to. Ugh, it just irks my heart. But that's what Paul here is up against. In verse 9, it continues, it says, but when some became hardened and would not believe, slandering the way in front of the crowd, he withdrew from them, taking the disciples and conducted discussions every day in the lecture hall of Tyrannus. This went on for 2 years, so that all the residents of Asia, both Jews and Greeks, heard the word of the Lord. So we're not responsible necessarily for how they receive it and how they react to the words, but we are responsible for spreading the word. The word used here, though, in this first verse, it says hardened. It kind of reminds me when Moses went before the Pharaoh and asked to take the Israelites out. The Pharaoh then hardened his heart. That is until the last appeal. Over and over again, Moses went to Pharaoh, "Let me take my people away. Let me take my people away." And then finally, God hardened the Pharaoh's heart. You ever run into anyone who had a hardened heart? Hardened heart? Now, it's interesting, hardened, the word hardened, when it comes to metal, we talk about iron sharpens iron. When it comes to metal, hardening is an art to harden the metal so it doesn't break down, so it doesn't bend easily and such. I know Jared, your brother, is a blacksmith. He made me a knife. And the core of the knife was actually made out of an old file because it had the right elements of iron and steel and stuff like that to make it real hardened. But after he shaped it, he has to heat it up so hot, that it was red, white hot, and then he douses it in water or oil to cool it real quick. And in doing so, it actually hardens the patina on the knife so it doesn't bend so easily. Hardening is a big deal in that arena. Well, this guy's had a hardened heart. And in that regard, though, it's not a good thing. Let me tell you, some people's hearts are so hardened that I don't think you could chip it with a chisel. But I'm not intending to meet a physical hardened heart, like maybe with someone gets hardened arteries or something like that. And instead, I'm referring to the hardening of their heart regarding the love, the compassion, the care that is inside them. And in Paul's case here, the willingness to listen or reason. These people were stubborn, and they were set in their minds and their ways, and they didn't want to budge for no good reason. This, again, has to do with the ability to choose. That is the way God wired every one of us. These folks, despite having the Billy Graham of their day, Paul, present the gospel to them, they personally refused to listen. So now here, besides them just not accepting it, it says that they actually went out and they were talking to the people that were even on the streets and around the synagogue that day, telling them too, don't listen to this guy. He was talking, slandered them. Now, the word slandering is slandering the way, it says here. That's the title of today's message, slandering the way. Let me break that down a little bit for you. Slander, of course, means the action or crime of making false spoken statement damaging to a person's reputation, or making a false or damaging statements about someone. This doesn't indicate exactly what they said other than that they were slandering the way. Well, the way, as you probably know, the way is not used in the Christian circles much anymore, but that was what they called Christians before they were called Christians. Before right now, he says, you'd say, are you a Christian? Well, now, back then, you'd say, are you of the way? So Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the what? I am the way. Yeah, he said light too. I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I like the term the way, and I always thought it would be great to name a church in that regard. And I think my wife's cousin actually has a church in like Texas that's called The Way now. But maybe we should get a church that says just The Way on them. That'd be kind of neat, wouldn't it? Start a conversation with that. But anyway, because of their hardness of heart and mind, Paul finally left them after 3 months of trying to persuade them. That reminds me of another verse where Jesus, during his Sermon on the Mount, said, don't give what is holy to dogs or toss pearls before pigs, or they'll trample on them under their feet. Turn and tear you to pieces. That's Matthew 7:6. So in other words, another way to put it is, don't put pearls on a swine. Don't put pearls on... The swine don't give a care of their pearls. You can put gold and diamonds on there. The swine don't give a care. He's looking for something to eat, and he'll probably eat them. Swines eat everything, I'm told anyway. But repeatedly sharing the gospel with somebody, the pearls, sharing the gospel with someone who continually scoffs and ridicules Christ is like casting pearls before a swine. We have to rely on the Holy Spirit inside us to determine what to say and when to say to whom, and when it is prudent, so sometimes, to just walk away. That's a tough, tough thing to do. Because if you love someone so much, because I got family members that I love dearly, but they will not hear God's word. They refuse to. Don't get me wrong, I'm not implying that we should refrain from preaching the gospel to those who puts gods in our path. Jesus himself, he ate and taught sinners and tax collectors about his will and his way. But he also said to the disciples, his disciples, if anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, shake off the dust off your feet when you leave that home or town. So you got that, Wyatt? You got to shake it off, buddy. Shake it off. Get that dirt off your feet. It says, we are to share the gospel, but when it becomes apparent that the gospel is not welcome, we are to move on. You got to understand that God prepares the hearts for the message. God prepares the heart for the message. That's just like so many times in the Bible it talks about, it gives an illustration of crops, of planting seeds, of preparing the soil. What kind of soil is it? God prepares the soil so that they can receive it. And sometimes people aren't ready yet. People aren't ready to hear the message. We are responsible to share the good news. We are not responsible for the people's response to the good news. Pigs don't appreciate pearls, and some people don't appreciate what Christ has done for them. That's just a hard fact. But you never know where that'll come up later on in life. Maybe 10 years from now, they'll say, I remember what Quentin told me one day. He was right. Sometimes it takes a while for something like that to change a person. Sometimes it takes dire circumstance for someone to consider the words that were imparted with them earlier. Our job is not to force the conversation or to cram the gospel down their throats. You must love me. You must love God. No, there's no sense in preaching the value of pearls to a swine. Jesus' instruction to his apostles on how to handle rejection was simply, go elsewhere. Go elsewhere. There's a lot of people out there that need to hear this message, and they're not prepared yet. There are many people who are ready to hear it. Find those people. That's exactly what Paul did here in these verses. But of course, you see he's stayed there 3 months arguing with them. Now look at the end results, though, it says in these verses. This went on for 2 years so that all the residents of Asia, both Jews and Greeks, heard the word of the Lord. If Paul had stayed and continued trying to argue with those few people there in the synagogue, then he probably would not have been effective elsewhere as he was. Paul listened, though, instead to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit said, Paul, it's time to go, man. There's other people you got to speak to. These pigs aren't ready for the pearls that you're trying to give them. Sometimes that's tough to do because you don't want to give up on people. But know this, you can always go back at a later time, perhaps. And Paul moved on and he made a significant impact on that whole part of the world. You know, it doesn't say Asia Minor. It says that all the people of Asia. I don't know, last time I counted up people of Asia, that's a lot of people. Billions now, but maybe millions then. They all had the opportunity to accept Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. Now I want to move back to the title of our message here, Slandering the Way. Slandering the Way. That word slander is a topic that we all should become more sensitive to in our Christian walk. Slander is something we should avoid at all costs. This week I'm sure you heard about that actor that's on TV and he made up a story about a hate crime. Did anybody see that on TV? Such a horrible circumstance. Oh my goodness gracious. In that he didn't directly slander anybody, but he made up a story ideally, and he'll have his day in court, but he made up a story and he says that he was beaten up when effectively he scratched himself. And then he hired two guys, you know, to make it look like they beat him up on camera, but it backfired on him. And then he said, oh yeah, and by the way, they had mega hats on them, on their heads. Slandering the president and his movement in that respect. You know, sad, sad set of circumstances. And then when they found out that these two guys did it, he threw them under the bus too. He hired them. He gave them a check for $3,500 to do this. And then when they got caught, he threw them under the bus. Such a sad circumstance. He'll see his day in court, I'm sure, and he will be prosecuted and spend some time in jail. I'm guessing. I'm not sure. But it's so sad when people conduct themselves in this manner. I grew up in an environment that was Oh, I got to go back. You ever heard of the old adage, sticks and stones? How's the rest of that go? Yeah. Oh, there you go. But that sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. My mama used to tell me over and over and over again. But it's really not true. Words can do great deal of damage for those who have been slandered. Anybody here ever been slandered before? I have, yeah. Slander is making a false or verbal statement that damages someone's reputation. Slander differs a little bit from libel, because you always hear that together, slander and libel. But libel is the written definition of character. Slander is only spoken. The Bible says a lot about slander, though, in both the Old Testament and the New. King Solomon, who's one of the wisest men that ever lived, he said in Proverbs 10:18, "Whoever conceals hatred with lying lips and spreads slander is a fool." And in 1 Peter, in the New Testament, Peter wrote, "Therefore, rid yourself of all malice and deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind." Slander is so high on God's list of wrongs that he even included it in the Ten Commandments. You may not recognize that. But the ninth commandment says, "You shall not bear false witnesses against your neighbor." Effectively, slander. Bearing false witness includes slander because of the untruths being spread. Slander is simply lying about someone with the intent of causing the other's view that the person is negative in negative light. What it does is it lifts you up. In the process of trying to lift you up, don't look at my deeds, because Wyatt there, he did all these things. So now I'm slandering Wyatt, so you're not no longer looking at me. Slander is a malicious lying, and God hates lying. Proverbs 6 says, "There are six things that the Lord hates, seven that are detestable for him: haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush to evil, false witness who pours out lies, and a person who stirs up conflict in the community." Also in Proverbs 12, it says, the Lord detests lying lips, but he delights in people who are trustworthy. Since God is the author of truth, anything untrue is in opposition to his nature, therefore repulsive even to him. Both slander and gossip are wrong, and Scripture often condemns them together. But slander takes gossip to a whole new level. I'm losing myself here. Gossip collects someone's secrets and passes them to others. Slander makes up its own secrets and broadcasts them wherever they will do the most harm. The New Testament references slander as part of an old sinful nature. Slander has no place in our lives when we become born again, new creations in Christ. Colossians 3:7-8 says, "You used to walk in these ways, the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourselves of all such things like these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Our words are to be complementary now to the glory of God." Ephesians 4:29 says, "Do not let any unwholesome talk from your mouths, but only what is helpful for bringing others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen." So if you ever got a question in your mind, especially like you're on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram or something like that, you find something that's funny and you want to share it, or you create something that's pretty cool on your own in that respect and you want to share it, pause. Just pause. Just for a few minutes and consider how it will be received. Is it something that is funny at the cost of someone's dignity? Is it something that's amazing, though, but it sheds some bad light on somebody else? And then get rid of it. And if you have such, which I implore you to do, get a friend or a spouse or a sibling to say, "What do you think?" before you hit send. because it could be received in a way that could hurt someone's character. Those who know God have a responsibility to refrain from slander. James 3, 9 and 10 says, "With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we cause human beings who have been made by God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing." My brothers and sisters, this should not be, it says. Slander is one practice that must continue to endeavor to put to death in our character. Now, if we intend to follow Jesus, and if I can do it, then anybody can. When I grew up, the environment that I lived in was riddled with foul language. It's sad. Mind you, the times were a little bit different then than they are now, but still, it surely was not healthy. Just about everybody I knew used languages that was simply just not Christ-like in character. And sadly, slander and insult were only a couple of the mechanisms that was frequently employed. Between school and home and work, it was just always out there. Then I joined the army, and then that further enhanced the negative speech and practice. As my mom used to say, out from the frying pan and into the fire kind of deal. Yeah. Although I knew it was not wholesome and ultimately beneficial for me as to use such language, I found myself slipping into the normal practice to fit in with the crowds, to make them laugh for the people that I was hanging with. Later, when I stopped running from Christ, I chose to clean up my act. And I found it rather difficult because I found myself in a habit of saying things that I shouldn't say. It was difficult for me to rid myself of the practice. But over time, and even with Amy's help over there, and much counsel from mentors and encouragement, I have pretty much eradicated that practice. But even still, because I have my daughters and my friends that monitor my posts and things of that nature, if I say something or write something that's inappropriate or hurtful, I immediately get feedback that causes me to take it down. So I challenge you all, if you ever see me put something out there that is questionable in character, please let me know, because I don't want that to be received as such. And sometimes it's deliberate, but a lot of times it isn't. You know, and I will do the same for you. You got that, Chancellor? We're watching each other. We need to watch after each other to make sure that we stay on the right track. In Romans 1, 28 and 32, Paul lists many traits which he calls a depraved mind. And slander is included in this list. When we slander others, we are choosing to step out of the path God designed for us. He will not participate with us in our attempts to destroy someone else's character with our words. Slander comes from a lot of times the heart, and when we are tempted to speak untruths about someone, we should first examine our own hearts to see what ungodly root is producing in those desires. Jesus himself said, "The things that come from a person's mouth come actually from the heart, and these defile them. For out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, and slander." God wants us to see that slandering someone is an indicator that our hearts are not right with them. Don't get me wrong, sometimes and most times I believe that all of your hearts are going down the right path. And you've got a healthy Christian life. But every one of us is susceptible for going down a bad path on occasion. A desire to slander can spring from a root of bitterness, from unresolved hurt, from unforgiveness, from jealousy, or from other sins of the heart. We all know very well that we can get caught up with folks that love to fuel such negativism. It gives us attention, and sometimes we get caught up in that. And maybe we say things that we should not ought to say. Or maybe we are goaded to do so by the company that we keep. In the old days, I remember one of the most popular things for kids used to say is, "Double dog dare you, double dog dare you," and we do something stupid that we probably shouldn't be doing. If that is the case, consider finding yourself a new crowd. Maybe one that includes brothers and sisters that are like-minded in Christ, that are concerned with your behavior and how things are received. God's grand and ultimate solution for slander is for us to love one another. Love another. Don't let slander get in the way of your of people receiving the love of Christ that is inside you. What is this, the old saying, like he said, love is patient, love is kind. That's a beautiful statement. God wants you to show you his love. Love wants the best for other people, and that means that we need to be guarding their reputations as we do our own. It's what is called the golden rule. Everybody's heard of the golden rule. Even atheists hear the golden rule. You know, they have golden rule in almost every religion, and it's almost exactly the same. So in everything, do unto others as what you would have them do unto you. For this sums up the law of the prophets. Love is the fulfillment of God's law. When we focus on obeying the Lord by loving as he loves us, slander will not tempt us. So in conclusion, as our brother apostle here ran into people who are slandering the way, you too, if, and it's a big if you are carrying out the Great Commission as God wants you to do in spreading the gospel to those who God puts in your path, then evidently you will run into people who will slander you. It's guaranteed. Call you foul names maybe, and maybe even take part in slandering the way.